your phones, with your Bible apps, get your Bibles out. I started a new summer series last week that I'm calling Got Fruit, all right? And again, it's so good to see you guys. And if you're our guest this morning, let me say how honored we are that you chose to worship with us today. We know there's a lot of churches around here. This is really a church, like we say, imperfect people are finding perfect hope in the real person of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have a church home or family, come along for the journey. It's a wonderful ride, and we build relationships. Right, guys? All right. So listen, we're calling this series Got Fruit, okay? And the entire reason for this series is to help you be the believer that God has called you to be and that he wants you to be. Not just called, but that he wants you to be. And he wants his children to bear or produce spiritual fruit in their lives. And you don't have to take my word for it. Look at what Jesus said in our main scripture. That's the foundation for this entire series. We talked about it last week. John 15, 16. And if you got a Bible or a Bible app, go to Luke chapter 6, okay? But our main scripture for the whole series, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, we talked about this first part of this scripture last week. We didn't choose Jesus. He chose us. Can we say praise the Lord for that? Can we just clap and say thank you, Lord, for choosing me, right? Remember, we talked about prevenient grace last week. That doctrinal term where it talks about ever since you were born, God has been pursuing you. He's been after you, and he won't stop. Because he loves you so much. That's prevenient grace. So Jesus chose us. Why did he choose us? It's in our scripture. To bear or produce fruit. You have a purpose. You have a calling. You have a responsibility as a child of God. And it goes way beyond occupying a seat on Sunday morning. Your purpose is to produce spiritual fruit. Your purpose for living is to have a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ, his Son, and to produce spiritual fruit, okay? So that's what we're talking about. And we're going to end up talking about many of the specific fruits that we should be producing. We're going to spend entire messages on specific fruits that we should be producing in our lives. So please, if you were not here last week for the foundational message in this series, listen to it on the website, watch, go on our Facebook public page. The broadcast is there. We record it. You can re-watch it there again. Request a CD on your way out from Aaron Barnett. And then commit that you're going to make it on Sundays during this series. Because as your pastor, I don't want you to miss something that's so foundational for the believer or for you. And if you've got to go away, you're going to go on vacation, man, chime in online. Now, some of you are watching right now on our live stream. Hello. Thanks for tuning in. If you can say that, I guess clicking in would be more appropriate today, you know. But commit that you're not going to miss these messages, okay? Because this is foundational for you as a believer in Christ, okay? Look how foundational it is. John 15 and 8, Jesus said, "But this my Father is glorified." How? "That you bear much fruit." See how the importance that Jesus puts on it? And then the Apostle Paul echoes in Colossians 1:10, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit." Fruit. Jesus is looking for fruitfulness. Do you guys understand that? And that's what we're going to talk about, okay? So go to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to get there in a minute. In my next message in this series, I'm going to talk about an amazing way to produce good fruit, and that comes from abiding in Jesus, John 15. But today, say today, we're going to talk about where your fruit comes from. I had a couple of foundational messages before we get into the fruit, and today we're talking about where it comes from. And I want to start off by asking you a quick question. What kind of dirt are you? All right? And you may say, what? Dirt? That's right. D-I-R-T. All right? We don't really think about it too much, do we? Okay? Because dirt is just there. It's there all the time, all over the place. Dirt, 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 okay? I'm not talking about gossip, all right, where you get the dirt on people or nothing like that. I'm talking about the real, physical, natural dirt. It's everywhere, all over this planet, okay? And I would dare say that many of you, when you were a kid, you probably consumed some dirt. Anybody? Yeah, thanks for being honest. A few of you, you know, speaking of dirt, there's a story that many can kind of maybe somewhat relate to. There's a vacuum salesman. How many remember those guys? And, you know, a vacuum salesman appeared at the door of an old lady's house, and without even allowing the woman to speak, he burst through the door, okay, and he threw a large bag of dirt all over her carpet. And he said, "Lady, if this new vacuum doesn't pick up every bit of dirt, then I'm going to eat every speck of this dirt there is," okay? The woman, who by this time was really losing her patience, said, "Look, honey, I didn't even have enough money to pay the electric bill, okay? So there's no way I can afford one of those machines that you got. So how would you like to eat your dirt? You want a fork, a spoon, or a knife?" You know what I'm saying? Yeah, remember how the vacuum salesmen would come in? You know, how many, and they'd throw dirt all over, and you're like, "What are you doing?" You know, and okay, never mind. I just thought that was funny. Spoon, fork, or knife, dirt. Dirt, that's what we're talking about, okay? That's our analogy this morning. So think dirt. What kind of dirt are you? Now, I read a news article. I'm a news hound, and I've got some apps, and I love it. But I read an article a few weeks ago that wrote that a medical lab had found a brand new strain of antibiotics that even the most resistant strain of bacteria is not resistant to. Even the worst cases of MRSA couldn't stand up to this, you know, this strain of antibiotics. And then they're like, "This is amazing," because how many, if you've been watching the news, the bacteria is getting stronger and stronger, and it's resistant to a lot of our antibacteria products and stuff. But they're like, "This new strain, it's like super antibiotic. It nothing can stand it," okay? Well, guess where they found this new strain of antibiotics? In the soil. They found it in the dirt. And it was fascinating to me. The article went on to state that there are so many tiny microscopic microorganisms that live in the dirt. They live there. They die there. They adapt there. They have learned to survive. All kinds of stuff in that biosphere down there that we just, you know, kick around and shovel around called dirt. So much life going on down there, right? So much activity happening in the dirt. And that article got me thinking about dirt, and I was in the car talking to Megan about this article, and I told her, "Man, you don't even realize this, but dirt is super important." And I doubt very many of you yesterday got up and took a spoonful or a cup full of dirt in your hands and were like, "Oh, I love this dirt. It's so important." No, we just, it's there. We don't even heed it or give mind to it, right? But dirt is super important. Listen to this. We came from dirt. You realize that? You're just dirt. Tell somebody next to you, say, "You're just dirt. That's all you are." Some of you that have been married, you've been waiting to say that for many years, you know? "You're just dirt. I knew it all along." You know, no. Yeah, we're just dirt, gang. That's all you really are. Dirt. And really, that's a biblical statement. Look, Genesis 2:7. At the beginning, God formed man out of dirt, right? From the ground. And blew into his nostrils the breath of life. When you also read Genesis chapter 3, you know, it says, the writer says, "You started out as dirt. You're going to end up as dirt." Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament says, "All of us are from dust, and to dust we're all going to return." Dirt. It's very important, and it may seem insignificant and unimportant, but listen, realize this as I start to transition to what's really applicable to us this morning. Dirt gives life. If you're taking notes, write that down. Dirt gives soil to create man. But that's not all. There's so many other things that come from dirt. I already talked about that massive antibiotic strain of whatever it is that they found, you know. But for the benefit of our series, fruit can come out of dirt. I mean, that's where we grow fruit, right? strawberries, pomegranates, mangoes, limes, pineapples, fruit trees, all on the dirt. Tomatoes. I don't know if tomatoes are a fruit or a vegetable. It's still debatable, right? You know what I'm saying? How many say fruit? How many say vegetable? All right, it is a mixed group in here, and that's okay. But so many other fruit grows from the dirt. Do you guys know mangoes and limes are on the ground? I didn't realize that. From the dirt. But make no mistake, sometimes the dirt yields good fruit. Sometimes the dirt yields bad fruit, okay? And sometimes the very nature and state of the dirt determines whether fruit will grow or not. If the dirt is brittle and hard and callous, it's not a good environment for growing fruit, is it? If the dirt is mixed with other substances like clay or sand or things like that, not a good environment to grow fruit. If the dirt is dry and doesn't have moisture and doesn't have water, not a good environment for growing fruit. If the dirt is full of rocks and gravel and stones, not a good environment for growing fruit. You guys get the picture? Dirt is vitally important for growing fruit. So I'm Greg. Okay, where in the world? I'm watching my watch, and where in the world is Carmen San Diego? Are you going with this thought of dirt? Okay. We are talking about producing spiritual fruit in this series. This fruit has to grow from somewhere, right? I mean, has anybody ever walked along the street and you just saw a piece of fruit hovering there and you just picked it off out of the air and started eating it? No, it grows from somewhere, okay? Where do you think spiritual fruit grows from? Your dirt. It grows from your dirt. And we've talked about natural dirt, but I want you to make this analogy, okay? We're going to talk about your spiritual heart. Your heart is the spiritual dirt, so to speak, of where your spiritual fruit can grow. Because fruit needs dirt to grow. Same thing with our spiritual fruit. And our heart is, you know, an analogy of that dirt. You guys kind of understand that? So learn this equation. Your heart equals dirt for spiritual fruit to grow, okay? Your heart equals spiritual dirt for your fruit to grow. So let's read our passage of Scripture today, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting with verse 43, just three verses of Scripture. Jesus said, "A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit." Go ahead and skip down to verse 45. "A good person," get this, gang, here you go, "produces good out of the good stored up in his or her heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his or her," where? "Heart, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart," okay? Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking to a big crowd of people, much like he was in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 during the Sermon on the Mount. This section of Luke is called the Sermon on the Plain. And he reiterates some of the same statements that he did during the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel book of Matthew. And in this scripture that we just read in Luke is one of the thoughts that Jesus repeated and he's reiterating. There are three passages in Scripture where Jesus talks about trees producing good fruit or bad fruit. Here in our text, also in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, and then Matthew chapter 7, 15 and 20, which is the Sermon on the Mount. So what is Jesus saying in our text and in these other two parallel passages? He's saying it's all about the dirt. It's all about your heart. That's what Jesus is referring to. That's what he's indicating. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about your heart. Everybody put your hand right here where your heart is. That's what he's talking about, okay? Greg, I often hear you talk about our hearts and messages. Are you talking about our physical hearts? Is that what you're talking about? No, listen. The Greek word that's used for heart here by Jesus and other places of the Bible refers to a person's entire mental and moral activity, the rational and emotional elements. The heart, as Vine's Expository Dictionary states, it's the hidden springs of the personal life. It's a man and woman's inward life that represents our true character. Our hearts show who the real we are. It shows who we are, the real us, okay? That's why Jesus said it's out of the heart that everything flows outward. Your words, your actions, your attitudes, your behavior, your values all spring from the real you inside of you. And the heart, according to Romans 2:15 and Acts 15:9, it's the sphere of divine influence. God wants to penetrate in here, the real you. He wants to change you, not just here, but he wants to start that change here. Because if that change starts here, everything else is affected. If we allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus into our heart, and he comes in and invades the real us, the real person inside of us, so often we like to even conceal and hide. He'll change that, and that flows outward. It changes this. It changes this. It changes how we walk. It changes what we do with our hand. It changes everything, right? Okay? It's from the inside, the real you, where spiritual fruit comes from, according to Jesus. Your heart's your garden. That's why it's your dirt. That's your soil in here, okay? And please understand the difference between, you know, works of the flesh and spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit does not just mean external works, things that we do. You better be busy for the kingdom. You better be knocking on all those doors. You better witness. You better be winning people to Christ. You know, that we often think that's what spiritual fruit is all about, things that we do, our actions. You know, that's what's referenced all the time in churches and places that are highly legalistic when talking about spiritual fruit and producing fruit. Because to the spiritual legalist, it's all about what you can do, how much you can obtain, how far you can go in your own might, in your own strength. I mean, that's how it was when I grew up. Whenever I heard someone talk about producing spiritual fruit, man, I all of a sudden started feeling bad, and I felt like I needed to witness to like 15 people that week, or God's going to be upset at me, or I wasn't doing enough stuff. These kind of external works, that's really not what we're talking about in when I say we're talking about producing spiritual fruit. It's not things that you and I do. To be fair, although doing can be spiritual fruit, and that's a little can, okay? The spiritual fruit that we're referencing in this series that Jesus is talking about is more about being instead of doing. That's freeing to me. It's more about being instead of doing. It's being more like Christ and less like the world. It's having a heart like Jesus, an attitude like Christ, a lifestyle like Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about, it all flows from our hearts. And then that affects our actions. That affects what we do. Can you guys see that? So as we go on this morning, I don't want us to be legalistic. As we go through this whole series, it's not about, okay, guys, you need to get out there and do more. No, it's about letting the Holy Spirit change us here so that we can be more like him. Yeah? And then the do more, it'll take care of itself, right? Because we'll have a heart like Christ. Man, that is good. Yeah. I like that. You know, I mean, I need to circle that in my own notes and keep it forever, right? Look what the NET Bible note states. Mention of the heart in the gospel shows that Jesus is not interested in what is done, but why? Motives are more important than actions for him. Listen, believer, that is a truth that you need to learn. And that's a truth on the road to spiritual maturity. Because you can go out there and do till your spiritual bones are dry, knuckles are showing, right? But if the motivation isn't there, it's not doing you any good, okay? God looks at the right intent, okay? He looks at our motives, and our motive should be, Lord, enter into my heart, change me, make me who you want me to be, and then let the fruit flow from me, Lord. Amen? And see, that's what fruit is, gang. Spiritual fruit is the revealing of what is in your heart, what these motives are. You know, it's hard sometimes, you know, you can look at a tree, and sometimes it's hard to figure out what kind of tree it is just by looking at the leaves and looking at the bark. And as I've known, you know, Kerry Daugherty, who's one of our guitar players, I'm so impressed with him. He can do that. He can look at a leaf, and say, it's this kind of tree or a bark. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You know, some people can do that. But for the average lay person for us in horticulture, okay, it's kind of hard to ascertain sometimes what a tree is just by the leaf. But you can tell immediately what kind of tree it is if you see its fruit, right? Definitely you can, okay? You can know that tree by examining the fruit. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying the fruit is what reveals the true character that is deep inside of us. That is the final test. That's why Jesus said two times in the Gospel of Matthew that you would recognize them by their fruit. He said it twice. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus was primarily talking about knowing and exposing false teachers. But the aspect of you should know them by their fruits applies to every man and every woman. You want to judge the character of a believer? Look at their fruit. You want to see how they are in the Lord? Examine their fruit. Now, you know, we don't judge, right? We don't judge. But I often like the saying that says, yeah, I can't judge, but I can inspect fruit. And when you inspect fruit, when you're a fruit inspector, you're not placing judgment, because that fruit or lack of fruit, that's saying all that anyone needs to know, right? Because the fruit is that final test. It's the indicator. And so, gang, this is why producing spiritual fruit is no joke. That's why we're spending an entire series on it. It's not a game. It's not something to ignore and brush aside. This is how you and I are going to be evaluated. This is what's going to matter after we've given our lives to Christ. This is what we'll have to give an account of, is how fruitful we were after coming to the Lord. It's very serious. And the scary thing is, according to Jesus, and we see it in nature, we can either bear good fruit or bad fruit. Definitely so. Good fruit, you know, it can equal love, and love for your enemies, humility, forgiveness, forgetting self, non-condemning attitude, repentance, righteousness, walking in the light of Christ, compassion, thankfulness, self-sacrifice, among other things. Bad fruit can equal conceitedness, no fear of God, critical and judgmental attitudes, doubt, wickedness, hate, proud, selfishness, self-willed, worldliness. Those things are unfit for use. You don't want to bake a pie with those kinds of fruit, okay? It will taste horrible and bitter. Trust me, you want to go and spit it out, right? These are just a few examples of the kinds of fruit that can grow from our hearts. The Apostle Paul compiled a great comparison of fruits in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 24. Read it with me. He writes, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're producing bad fruit that's unfit for the kingdom to use. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And again, later in this series, we're going to examine especially these specific fruits. We're going to take them one by one and talk about them and other fruits, okay? Check yourself right now. What's coming out of your heart? What's growing out of your dirt? What kind of fruit is growing out of your dirt, okay? What's growing out of your heart? And the beauty of all this, of course, is that, you know, to be honest and real, how many are imperfect in here? All right, man, again, if you didn't raise your hand, you just lied. So you're imperfect already, you know? Pastor Jason, mark those down and pray for them at the end of the service, okay? Just kidding. It's all good. Yeah, we're all imperfect, every single one of us. And so being that, we all have some bad fruit that springs up you know, here and there, right? Am I alone in this? Am I the only one that ever has a bad attitude? Am I the only one that ever says the wrong thing? Thank you, Pastor Jason, for affirming that. I already knew that, but that's okay. Just kidding. No, we all do, right? Yeah, and maybe not, you know, when we go back to the scripture in Galatians, I mean, some of that's some pretty bad fruit. Maybe that kind of fruit's not springing up there, okay? But selfish ambition, jealousy, some outbursts of anger, querulous, yeah, those things are going to spring up from an imperfect life stemming from our old nature, okay? There'll be days when the attitude's not just right. We get selfish, we get critical. We're not displaying Christ-like love. We don't do exactly what we need to do or should do. You know, these types of things. I mean, even natural trees and vines and fruit plants will spring up some bad fruit along with the good stuff, right? Take heart this morning. We will not be judged by the Lord by a bad piece of fruit here and there, okay? So everybody breathe a sigh of relief, okay? But we will be evaluated and judged by the totality of what we are producing. Whether we lean towards good fruit or our life is leaning towards bad fruit. What type of fruit is occupying most of the branches on your tree? What is the overall type of fruit that's springing up from your garden? That is what is important. And again, it's not an excuse so that we can bear bad pieces of fruit. You know, well, I'm not perfect, so it's okay if I produce bad fruit for a day or a season or two. No, not ever. If and when a bad piece of fruit pops up, you know, on your branch, pluck it off, pick it off, get it out of there, replace it with the good fruit of repentance and change with the help of the Holy Spirit who's inside of you. Man, that's some good preaching right there. Yes, it is. Pluck that bad fruit point, then this happens immediately after the 3.5 years of peace and saying, change my heart. Like the psalmist wrote, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Amen. I mean, imagine going up to a luscious fruit tree. Man, when we lived in Arizona, we had a grapefruit tree in our backyard. We had a wonderful orange tree right in the front of our yard. When I would go to the office in the morning, I would walk right by and yummy, pick that thing off. And just enjoy it as I drove down the street, okay? You know, and it's awesome. How many of you, okay, but you've ever been a bit hungry and you needed satisfaction? You grab fruit off the tree, you taste it, and it's nasty. It's bad, rotten, and decaying. Anybody ever do that before? Probably. What did you do? Right? I mean, you just spit that nasty stuff out. It's gross. It's unfit to be eaten or for use, okay? But imagine grabbing that luscious, juicy, beautiful fruit. Yummy. Very appropriate to use to fill your belly, to fill a pie, to fill a cobbler. I don't know. Whatever you want to use fruit for, right? That's how it is with our lives, gang. Okay? Read with me before our worship team comes back up. Read to me what the popular commentary states. The heart of a man is like a tree. Even so, a man whose heart has been renewed by faith and thus has been changed to a truly good heart will produce out of this truly good heart good works that will stand the test of God's scrutiny. On the other hand, a person whose heart has not been changed by faith and is thus evil before God will bring forth only such works as must be condemned in his sight. And that's where it stands, gang. You and I both will stand before the Lord one day. He wants to see fruit. He's going to be the biggest fruit inspector you've ever met in your life. And it's important that he sees that you've produced fruit for him. And the difference between the fruit, whether good or bad, is our heart. How's your heart? That's why I asked at the beginning, what kind of dirt are you? If our closing team will come up, musicians, and play pretty softly in the background. There's an illustration that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. It's one of his parables, probably the most famous of his all parables. He told this story to illustrate a truth that I'm talking about this morning, and that's the parable of the sower and the seed. If you never read it, I'm gonna summarize it real quickly for you, okay? Jesus said there was a farmer that went out to his field, his dirt, and he scattered seed all across it. Jesus then went on to describe the condition of some of the places where this seed fell. Some fell on a footpath. It had been stepped on, okay? The footpath was hard and rough by people walking on it time and time again. The birds came and ate that seed up right away. Some of the seed that the sower threw out, it fell, you know, into the parts of the field that had a lot of rocks. And some plants began to grow, but they soon wilted away because there's no moisture. The plants couldn't take root, so they just wilted away and they died. Some seed fell among where, you know, the dirt were thorns and weeds and, you know, ugly kinds of plants were growing. And these wild plants competed with the good plants growing and it choked them out and the good plants died, all right. And then some seed fell on the dirt that was fertile. It was prepared and it was ready, okay? And this seed grew and grew, and it produced a crop that was 100 times as much that had been planted. And this is a very interesting parable. And usually when we read and hear this parable taught, we focus on the sower and we focus on the seed, right? Okay? But do you realize what is the important part of this story? The dirt, the soil. Now, that's the important part of this story, okay? That's what Jesus is talking about. Some was ready to receive the seed and produce a wonderful crop. And sadly, some of the dirt was not ready to receive the seed. That's you and me. What kind of dirt are you this morning? What kind of soil are you? If you recall, early in my message, I already went over this. The very nature and the state of the dirt determines whether fruit will grow or not. It'll grow or not. If the dirt is brittle and hard and callous, then the seed of God's word in his presence won't even begin to penetrate the top of the soil. Some people's soil and dirt is so brittle, so hard, so callous because they've been stepped on. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. And it's been pounded and pounded and pounded. And they're so guarded now, so unforgiving. And that is a horrible environment for growing good fruit, right? In other substances, there's other things in other parts of the dirt. Other substances are mixed with the dirt, like clay and rocks and gravel. No moisture can get to it. The seed can't take root. You know, it may shoot up a quick plant, but it will wither and die away. They haven't been refreshed by the Holy Spirit. They're just living life, living routine, living day to day. It's no water, no moisture. Some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be praying for that wonderful gift of the Lord. You need to pray every day, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need the water. I need the refreshing. I need you to water my soil, Lord, deep and drenched so that I can produce fruit. Some people's soil is mixed with worldliness, compromise, foot in God and a foot in the world. There's so much compromise, and that's a horrible environment for growing good fruit. As a matter of fact, the plant starts again, but it withers away. You'll be striving for the Lord, doing things for him, but then it's the world's turn, and it stifles what God wants to do in your life. And finally, some people's soil and their dirt's already growing some types of bad plants, weeds, thorns, other things that shouldn't be there. And the plants with good fruit starts to grow, but then these bad plants just choke them out. Stress of life, cares of life, pleasures of this life. Men late at night clicking on the internet on sites you know you shouldn't go. Riches of this life, worry, materialistic things, caring and focusing too much on this life down here, whether on good things or bad things. These things, this can choke out the good spiritual fruit that you're to produce. Why? Because I say it often, you're focusing on things down here. And that's never a good environment for growing good spiritual fruit. How should it be? Jesus gives us the answer at the very end of this parable, Luke 8:15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Do you see the correlation from Jesus? I just saw this, you know, like when I was doing this message and I reread this scripture, I just saw, look at the correlation. Good soil, good heart, bear fruit. Write that down. Even if you're not taking notes, write it down right now in your phone's app. Good soil, good fruit. I'm sorry, good soil, good heart, good fruit. You guys get the picture? What kind of dirt are you? What kind of soil are you? If our elders, deacons want to get ready to take communion to pass it out, here's the question before we go on in this series. This is serious. The question that's posed from the parable of the sower is this: how is your heart, open door? And here's the reason why I ask this, because according to Jesus, the fruit that you bear will spring up from your heart. You see, the issue is your heart ready to bear fruit? Is your dirt ready to bear fruit? Is it good soil? Are you ready to bear fruit? Are you just in a tradition and religion of just, you know, just coming to church, and that's good for you? And there might even be some small low-hanging fruit that pops up here and there as a result of you just coming to church, and you're satisfied with that, and you feel like that's okay, and you feel like that's enough. No. And if that's your attitude, what's the issue with your heart? Why aren't you wanting to produce fruit more abundantly like Jesus said? And Jesus said, that's how the Father is going to be glorified, that you bear, that you produce much fruit, right? Guys, that's why you and I constantly need a heart change, a renewal of the heart. I don't care if you just started walking with the Lord or you've been walking with Him for years. You and I need a heart change, a heart renewal. That's what we need. Spiritual heart surgery by the greatest spiritual cardiologist that's ever been, the Holy Spirit. Many of you know I had open heart surgery in 2016. I would not wish that on anyone, that experience, okay? But I do wish and pray that we all have spiritual open heart surgery all the time, and that the Holy Spirit helps us to be good soil, ready for for God to plant the seed of His word and the seed of His presence in us, so that we will grow and produce an abundance of spiritual fruit individually and as a church, amen? And we'll be more like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three Godheads distinct, yet all union elements. God's so good, isn't He? Isn't He so good? Isn't He so good? Hallelujah. Some of you guys need to come to Christ. Some of you, you know, you need to give your heart to Jesus and let Him change you forever. Before you take communion, say, Lord, I come to You. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. That's what it's all about. Say, I decide I want to live for You. And Jesus, I want You to live in me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash me. I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I'm a sinner and I need grace. Those of us who've walked with the Lord, man, we've prayed that prayer over and over. And it's not just a one-time thing. Thank you, Pastor Jason. It's a continual, every day, dying to self, taking up the cross, and following Jesus. Listen, gang, this thing called the Christian life, we've been tricked. We've been tricked to think that all it is just coming to church on Sunday and having a good time. That's part of it. And I love it. I love where the Hebrews writes, so forsake not the gathering together of the brethren and sister. And I love that. I love how the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, come, you know, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. But this is not all there is. There's more. Produce fruit. Be good dirt. Be good soil. Let the Holy Spirit change you, invade you, and then let Him plant seeds in that's going to spring forth fruit, not just here, but all over the place. And then one day when you stand before God, see those trees on the screen? Fruit all over the branches? as your pastor, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for you. That's what Jesus wants for you. You stand before the Lord, he sees that fruit, and he's like, man, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You can do all kinds of external good works for the rest of your life. You can give every bit of money you have to the poor. All kinds of stuff like that. But if you don't have good spiritual fruit, that won't matter. That's what this series is all about. Jesus, touch us. Speak to us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for callousness, complacency, for just going through motions, Lord. Change us, Holy Spirit. Change us, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just wait for everyone to receive their elements. Prepare your heart right now for this moment. Say, Lord, make me good dirt. Say that to the Lord. He knows what you're talking about. It's what Jesus is saying. Jesus, breathe on us right now, Lord. Right now. God, help us. Make us that dirt you want us to be. Help our hearts to conform to your will to produce spiritual fruit. Hallelujah. If there's one here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Savior, they don't have that relationship with you, I pray that right now they would give their heart to you. They'd offer it in their hands and say, here I am, Lord, every bit of me. I want a relationship with you. I believe that you're the Lord. I believe that you're Jesus Christ. You died for me. You rose again from me. And I call you my Lord from here on out. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. It says, and as they, Jesus and his disciples, were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And you feel his presence today. He's right here. Change us, Jesus. Open heart spiritual surgery, Holy Spirit, on us, I pray. The gospel writer continued, said, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank you. Just worship the Lord right now in your own way. You may want to raise your hand. You may just want to just tell him you love him. Just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.